The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you, Jesse Rogers, for his insightful presentation.
Roger.
Of the trade deadline and the impact of a couple of breaking news stories that we had here on Cap J Hood. Thank you, Danny, Jeff, JR. Hoodie and I back 7 a.m. tomorrow from this time a different location. We'll be on the road. Buttermilk Cafe, Vernon Hills, where they have an amazing breakfast menu.
It's a great breakfast place because there's a few of them. There's one in Naperville by my folks. I've been there with them. It's terrific.
So we're going there tomorrow to broadcast the show. That's where people will park and take the shuttle to Bears camp. So we'll be looking for some fans to impart their observations from camp here on the program.
Yeah, not only that, we're going to ask them, hey, what's going on?
You're going to do both?
Yeah.
What's happening?
100%.
Huddy, you guys are there tomorrow, we're there on Friday.
Yes, look forward to it. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Harness Racing is back at Hawthorne Racecourse with betting action every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. Under the lights, details at Hawthorne Racecourse.
Carmen Yurko.
A little change of pace. I like that one. You quickened it. I like it, kid. Went up a couple of measures.
I like the tempo.
Little EDM action.
EDM. There we go.
It's hot out there today, boys. It's late July in Chicago.
Oh, is it really?
It's hot.
It's heaty. It's hot. It's steamy.
Somebody asked me to go play golf.
Absolutely.
Somebody asked me to go play golf. I just keep it. Not today.
It's hot.
Nah, I'm not interested today.
Give me a hot one.
I like playing when it's hot.
I like playing when it's like 75.
Right.
That's what I like playing.
Well, I played in the heat last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so I had 4 days of playing in the heat.
Ooh, Saturday.
I had it. Now, two of those days were 27s. Played 27 holes.
Oh, my God. That's a lot
of golf. Around and a half. There's a lot of golf, which is why when somebody texts me today and says, hey, let's get out there about 2:30, I said, keep it.
It's a lot
I go,
of golf.
If you want to go have some fun, good luck to you. I said, I'll meet you in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cocktail with you afterwards, but I will not play golf today.
I pitched in this heat the other night.
How'd you do?
Yeah.
So well, the first two innings, hitless, runless.
Good.
Third inning.
Got lit up.
It was 1-2
on the
first
hitter. Say you got to take him out? He's too good?
Yeah, exactly. Third inning. First hitter. I've got him 1-2. My catcher says I played with him. He can't hit a curveball. So all I threw him was breaking stuff. Yeah, I hit him in the ribs.
Ooh.
Walk the next two. Bases loaded.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
Nah, I give up my first hit. It's a run in.
Going sideways.
Now I walk the next guy.
Oh, God, it went good. They're calling the bullpen.
Manager Scott Colkins, I go, one more kid. I got to pull
Get him out.
Now I give up a hit down the left field line. Two wins, two more score. I'm done.
Cap became Cody.
I did have a double and a single.
Well, that's good. He's productive at the plate.
So, it was not a good performance in the third inning. The wheels came off.
We're all old, you know.
Wheels came off.
It's bound to happen from time to time. So,
How about Aloy though yesterday?
Oh my God!
You know, without Aloy,
welcome back.
Without Aloy, that might be a loss yesterday because the lumber was limp.
Yeah, it's been limp. I mean, let's face it. You know,
I can tell you this: he looked a lot like Yermin Mercedes did in April. Boy, I tell you, key hit.
Yes.
He looked a lot like Yermin. That's all I'm saying.
That catch he made
was very nice.
That was not easy.
Listen, welcome back. Mind when he's running hard in. It's when he's going backwards. They need to put they got to tell him.
Bumper pump.
Don't go back. Don't ever, let it go over your head. We'll be okay.
I know he wants to play the outfield. I don't want him out there.
But he's never going to, they're never going to make him a full-time DH because he just, guys that are 24 don't want to do it. I get it. I'm scared all the time, but like Stacy says, if you're scared, go buy a dog. So we got to get over it.
I can't wait till
we got to deal with it.
Close to the net again, and gets trapped like a salmon.
And then poor Andrew Vaughn. Sure enough, he makes an error in right field. You know, it's like poor guy hadn't played outfield since high school. He does a good job in left. Now you got to play him in the other corner where it is different. And poor guy makes an error.
Definitely,
he's
different.
Like son of a
son of a gun. Yeah,
that opened up the 2-0 lead. I'm like, is that the end? Are we coming back in this one?
Yeah.
But you know,
boy, that was great though. Come on, I mean, they walk Abreu, and then Aloy does that.
Here we go.
Oh my God, it's.
I thought of the hood cave. That thing must have been the rock blowing off.
Oh jeez. But I was just very happy for Aloy. As I've been telling Cap, it's something about young people, right? We're not supposed to see him until September. It's July, and he's back. Robert the same way. Grandal at some point, too. So I just think that these injuries, these guys getting healthy, that's going to help. Now, by the time we get to the deadline, I'd like to see a couple of arms in the bullpen. I suggested to Cap earlier, like, hey, Ray Lopez is looking good. Good enough to trade.
Yeah, right. I mean, why not?
Yeah, so.
But I asked him, if you were a rival GM, not of a good team, I'm talking Cubs, Twins, teams that are rebuilding.
Somebody
and
unloading.
Acknowledging. Would you take Reynaldo Lopez back as a project arm? He throws freaking 98 miles an hour.
I mean, somebody might because his stuff is good. But, man, there's a lot of...
We know what that looks like.
Yeah, I think we know what it is. I'm kind of with that. Unless somebody takes a chance on him in this role, Hoodie, which is probably the best role for him, right?
Sure. Like, small sample size.
Yeah.
You know, because
like I think that's got to be the role for him, not a starter.
How many times you sit down, Carm's like, all right, here we go. Oh. Sox baseball, Lopez is starting, and all of a sudden, as you get comfortable, it's 6-0, the opposition.
Plays too many times.
Okay,
you
know? So
you want to believe in him because the promise is there and the arm's good. But
Back to the topic we had with Danny. Did you feel, if you guys didn't hear it, you were taping, Danny's coaching his 8U team, and he has a pitcher who's like Greg Maddux of the league.
Right.
First inning, 3-3. They can't touch him. Second inning, it's a 2-0 game at this point. The other coach says, if you pitch that kid again, it's bad sportsmanship. We're pulling our team off the field. In the second inning.
I think that's weak sauce on the other coach's
part.
Danny pulled
the kid. Yeah.
And I don't disagree with Danny's choice either, to be honest. If the other team's going to walk off the field, you want to play. You want your kids to play. I mean, I don't.
You don't let another coach dictate to you what you do, period. That's it.
100%. I told Danny.
So you go to the parents, you go to the kids. For some reason or another, he wanted to tell us who we needed to pitch. I told that coach to go blow it out his keister.
But
he took his team off the field and he quit. Then my next call is to the league commissioner going, who the hell is this guy? And why does he think he can dictate policy to everybody's team? There's a limit on the amount of innings the kid can pitch anyway.
Innings.
There you go.
Yeah.
You face him one more time. What do you got, kids crying in the dugout?
It is pretty weak on the other coach.
And then he pulled his team off, down 3-0, bases loaded, 2 outs in the last inning. They had a hitter coming up who probably wasn't going to get a hit. So he goes, we're done. And he pulled him off.
So he didn't even give a kid a chance to hit.
Correct.
Didn't even give a kid a chance to lean into a pitch.
Correct.
Nothing. Ed, sorry. You play in a crappy league, dude.
I don't.
Where not one coach can dictate policy to everybody.
I don't blame Danny.
I'm not blaming him either.
I know you're not.
I'm just saying I called the league commissioner. I said, get this guy out of the league. He's poison.
I would have kept.
He's poison to this league.
I would have kept playing, but I think it's soft and weak on the other coach's part. Dude, there's always going to be a kid. Like, there's a kid in our league that, every time he comes up, you know what we say to each other as coaches? We go, this is unfair.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
That's just the way it's going to be. Listen.
I mean, he's just that much better than everybody. Hoodie, and we say every time he comes up, we go, this
Hoodie's
is unfair,
gonna,
but that's
Hoodie's
the way it is.
Going to recognize the name.
Is that hey, Carm, is that the kid you traded?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
This kid is not draft because his dad's one of the coaches. So
gotcha.
You have to. He's by far the best kid in our league.
All
I mean, it's just, we always know it. And you're like, oh, he's going to hit a home run no matter what we do. And he does.
I was in Little League, Carm. The best pitcher in the league by far, bar none, was Wade Kozakowski.
Yeah,
Wade Kozakowski went to St. Francis de Sales after that. He went to Ball State and was the quarterback for Ball State.
Your age?
He's a year older than that.
Year older than you, okay.
But you're playing in the majors,
right.
Boom, he's the one throwing smoke.
And
he threw smoke.
Yep.
You got barrel on the ball. It was a thing. They talked about it in school. They talked about it at the park. Did you see the kid that hit Wade Kozakowski?
He was that good, huh?
Did you see the kid that hit Wade Kozakowski? He got a hit off of him. Boom, he stood in there. Boom, and he got. By far the best guy in the league pitching, okay? Kids were trembling. You saw got kids tinkling down their pant leg. Guess what? You got to face your fear.
And
that's one of the ways that those things get done. By far the best. He struck me out with a curveball one time.
Yeah.
Okay? Curveball. He was developing his pitches as he was going on. I've never seen a curveball.
Oh.
I bailed out of the box so far, and the umpire rings me up and goes, strike, and I go... What? And I went to the dugout. I go, he had to change up. He knew I was on the fastball. I go, he had to throw a curve to get me. I go, I'm making him change his whole pitching style to come get me. It was still a victory. I found a way for it to be a victory.
Do you remember?
That's how you develop confidence over the course of time. You fail, you fail, you fail, then you succeed. Boom.
I agree.
That's called confidence.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Like, you've got to fail. You got to know what failure's like. To when you achieve something, that's when it tastes so sweet.
And that's why it's, I think it's incredibly in bad taste and just for that other coach to suggest something
James
like that.
James in Glenview.
To say we're going to walk off the field if you, you know, the kid's pitching one more inning anyway.
Soft.
You tell your kids that they got to deal with it. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. I mean, like, we're all dealing with this that are, you know, we have kids about the same age. My son's a little older than Danny's, but they get intimidated sometimes. That the kids that are my kids' age now, I mean, they're starting to throw hard. The good pitchers throw, and especially when we play tournaments, they throw hard.
They throw smoke.
And they look at it, and they sit in the dugout, and they're sort of intimidated. And we tell them, don't be intimidated. Stand in the box. You know, if you've got to choke up, choke. Like, do everything that we're trying to teach you. But don't go up there and be scared and think, well, we can't hit them. And we would. I mean, it's crazy
so
to suggest
they didn't intimidate,
get off
like,
the field.
They didn't look like me in the 16 over league. No. They are much more intimidating. Dude, I could still tell you the name of the kid we had to face at Joswiak Park in Niles. Bob Heath. He went to Maine East. That guy threw freaking BBs.
He's the candy bar guy.
We all remember
the candy
those
bar guy.
By the way, you know who was the guy growing up? I was told was just an insane baseball player, probably could have gone on and played.
I know who you're going to say.
Eddie O.
Eddie O.
I was told, because we were playing at some field, I can't remember what it was called, but they said that Eddie O used to hit homers like every time up at this field. And
as is the case with most guys that play at that level, they probably could have had the
Eddie's
pick of
dad,
a couple of sports.
Eddie's dad has said to me, if he had put his mind to it, he could have played Major League Baseball instead of hockey.
Yeah.
And my friend John Schultz said, oh, yeah, I was playing on a travel team. And all of a sudden, I'm in center field, and the ball's flying not only over my head, so far over the fence you can't imagine, and that was Eddie Olczyk.
I think the game bored him.
Yeah.
Baseball bored him. Mm-hmm. Compared to hockey, baseball's very boring.
I think most of the guys that are great are like, wasn't Tom Brady a phenomenal baseball player? I think
he was.
I mean, like, Brady was incredible.
Danny Ainge.
John Elway.
Danny Ainge.
That's a great call.
John Elway.
For the Blue Jays.
Tom Glavine was drafted into the NHL for crying
out loud. Brian Jordan.
I mean, like, yeah. Like
Dave Winfield.
All types. Kirk Gibson.
And if you're that good, you probably could have had your choice of a few different sports because you're just a great athlete. But I've heard the same thing about Eddie, that he was quite the prodigious baseball
player. Quite remarkable.
Michael Jordan.
Well, Michael would have played pro baseball had he not. I mean, he would have. Michael would have been good enough to play baseball.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the guy, you got to admit, the guy hit over 200 where the best pitching is normally at AA. That's normally the level where you're going to get the best stuff.
Right.
The guy didn't play baseball for 15 years and went down there and hit like over 200. I mean, no joke. If Michael would have chosen baseball, Michael would have played baseball.
And a nice tapper against Dave Otto.
That's true. He did have a. That's right.
Good point.
Dave could always brag about that, I guess.
Palindrome, OTTO.
That's right.
So there you go. so there you go. Against Otto.
I love
Pretty
it.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, boys.
Good to see you.
Enjoy the weather.
Time to go.
Peace.
All right.
What's the hurry?
It's time to go, champ.
All right.
Clock discipline. I said clock.
Okay. All right.
See you, boys. Yeah. Bye. All right. Have a great day. Hoodie, I'll see you in Vernon Hills. You might want to leave now.
Have fun.
I'll be fine. Thank you.
See you tomorrow. Out of here. Carmen, you're next.
Working from home? We're back in the office. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
He's back, baby. Aloy's back. He's back.
Gonna
walk Jose Abreu.
Nice. I was watching it. I was cheering against the White Sox yesterday. I was watching. I saw him catch it, and I'm like, well, that's a no-doubter. That's a no-doubter. And it was no-doubter.
That was a no-doubter. Yeah. He knew it the minute he got it.
Oh, he looked a lot like Yermin was in April, didn't he?
I don't know why you keep saying that.
Keep saying it because Yermin single-handedly kept this thing afloat by himself in April. You know that. That's a fact. That's the truth.
Okay, you know,
First 6 weeks of the season, Yermin, Mercedes.
But we've acknowledged that.
I agree with you. That's why I'm saying he looked a lot like Yermin.
It's Yermin, by the way.
I say Yermin.
You know Hawk would have called
that. That's Jermaine.
Here comes Yermin.
Yeah, that's Jermaine.
Okay, you looked a lot like Yermin Mercedes.
You guys got a Tani. I'll take Yermin.
That's right.
That's right. That's good, Mark. That's pretty good. Otani hit like a 460-foot.
We were watching it live.
Granted, it was 10-0, but they were down 10-0.
Brett looked over me and goes, you still on Guerrero for MVP? And I said, no, I gave up.
Yeah, Merck gave up. Yeah. He gave up hope. Madden even said it's ridiculous to talking about anybody else. Of course, Madden's going to say that.
Especially if the Angels finish with a better record than the Blue Jays when it comes down
to
the stretch.
The Blue Jays all of a sudden, yeah.
By the way, it's really become for the Angels kind of like how it was used to be for Cub fans with Sammy, that they just come to show to watch Ohtani hit a home run.
And when Trout gets back. That's the show right now out there.
It is.
For the White Sox.
Showtime.
Showtime. For the White Sox, the show is they can hit it far and they're really good. 60 wins now. They cool off the Royals, finally. I mean, the Royals. I heard Len with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, Len Casper making his weekly visit, and he's on with the guys every week, and he, of course, is the voice of White Sox baseball here on your home for the Sox. 6:30 pregame with Connor McKnight tonight on ESPN 1000. He was going through the weird, like, baseball is a weird game. Like, the Royals, this isn't verbatim, but I heard Len mention it. Like, they started off 16-9. People are like, oh, look at the Royals. Remember, Jesse Rogers was puffing on his chest.
Because
on opening day, he goes, I've heard, watch out for the Royals. Boy. I'm like, yeah, I'm not worried about the Royals. Then they're 16-9, and Jesse's like, I told you. I said, don't worry, they stink. Then they went, I wish I had it, then they went like on an 11-game losing streak.
They were
off. Right?
Yeah.
Then they went like 20-8 or something, or maybe not that good, but close. And then they went like 8-29, and then they went, like, baseball's weird like that.
It is.
And so they cooled off the Royals. The White Sox did what they had to do, and Eloy made them pay for walking, putting the tying run on base with two outs in the eighth inning by walking Jose Abreu. And maybe Mike Matheny didn't. Look, it always looks bad when it bites you, but I guess I get it. Like, yeah, I still, even though Abreu's in a slump, I might not want to face him, and I'll take my chances with the guy that just got back.
The 0-2 hit by pitch where he hit the guy in the ankle, that's the one that killed the Kansas City Royals. That's the one. I mean, you've got a guy there. You're about to go ahead and light him up like a Christmas tree and get him out. Then you hit him with a pitch, and he goes, and then you walk the next guy, and then up comes Eloy.
Could the White Sox fans barely contain their excitement last night? I think so. So hopefully a harbinger of things to come. And I can't wait to see Robert doing similar things when he comes back. And we're still just sort of in sit and wait mode right now. Like, I'm anxious. Every time my phone goes off,
you're looking for a trade. Like,
yeah, what's the trade? Who's it going to be?
Do we anticipate something happening? Do we have the sounder ready? That's all I want to know,
Jeff.
It's always ready, boys.
Beautiful. But it's at the finger. It's at the finger, ready to rock. That's what I'm looking for. I'm anticipating some news today.
You think today?
Today's the 28th, 2 days before the trade deadline. I am anticipating that we get some news today. And I see Carmen on Twitter. He's got the 17 pages up. He's scanning it, looking for anything that might be even close to breaking news.
Are you guys on your toes and ready for both baseball and possible Hawks trade?
Yes, I am. Like, I'm serious. Every time my phone goes off, it's either I'm looking at a Twitter alert or somebody, a breaking news story, or a friend saying, oh, my God, like, this is what they just did. Jeff, will you do me a quick favor and find the Jeff Passan thing about Craig Kimbrell last week when he joined us? We had it up on the screen, but I don't see it unless I'm missing
it. Looks like it's been moved to a different page.
And I bring that up, and I'll tell you why in a second. But I do want to play that.
Yeah, I would like
to
know.
Yeah, I don't see it on my screen.
Why you want
to
bring that up.
It has just been added to your page.
So this is Passan last week when he joined us. We were talking about Cubs and Sox. Could they make a deal? Like, would the Sox do something bold? And like, hey, we'll rent Baez to play second for the rest of the year because Nick Madrigal's not coming back. Listen to Passan.
If you're going
to
go after someone at this point, you're going to pay the money, go get Kimbrel. Mm. Like, can you imagine a back end of the bullpen with Liam Hendricks and Craig Kimbrel? God almighty.
I mean, he might not have a say in it. Would Kimbrel be okay with not closing out games? I mean, it seems like that'd be Hendricks' job still.
Yeah, I think Kimbrel would be okay winning a ring.
Exchanging text yesterday with a very savvy baseball person, MLB connected person, the same thing was said. Like, it's not crazy for them to be very interested in Craig Kimbrel.
There you go.
And kind of getting on the horn with the Cubs daily to make sure, like,
Kopech.
No, that's not going to happen.
Kopech. Retainer.
Retainer.
Retainer. So it starts with Kopech.
No.
Stop.
Then I would pass.
Kopech.
And I would pass.
Okay, here's the thing. Wait.
If that's where it
Real
starts,
quick.
I pass.
Kopech is almost as good as Kimbrel out of the pen
right
now.
I like the way you said it. Almost as
good. No, it's not going to be Kopech. It starts with...
I don't want your crap.
The Cubs are going to say they'd probably take a chance on a Gavin Sheets. They're also going to say you have to give us your top prospect. I mean, right? I mean,
Kelly or Cespedes?
I would think Kelly. I would think Jared Kelly is what they're asking for in return. And I got to admit, like,
Kelly's the pitcher.
Yeah. He's their top prospect. Even though it's 1 year, even though you're renting him for a couple months, Gavin Sheets might turn out to be fabulous. And he's hit a lot of home runs in a small sample. I mean, Gavin hit his sixth home run last night.
Yeah, he did.
I love it, but
you got to give the get. You got to give the get.
I'm willing.
Yeah, you got to give the get.
Now, Len Casper, again, I'll go back to something he said with the guys yesterday where he goes, I'd want a little bit more control if I'm giving up Gavin. I don't think I want to do that for a player that you're only renting for a couple months. I would do it. I think 7, 8, 9, I think you're increasing your chances enough. Nothing's a guarantee, of course, and baseball's very weird, you know, like we were just talking about.
Right, but you already saw one place that he was supposed to go was Houston. He's not going to Houston. Houston just got Graverman from Seattle.
Yeah, they got Kendall
Graverman.
Not
a lot of joy in Seattle with this Graverman thing going on, too. Listen,
you can add an R.
You call him what you want.
Okay.
Graverman. It's my guy.
Like, I think you are increasing your chances, maybe not exponentially, but I think what then becomes the eighth and ninth inning is so tempting, and I think you're shortening the game so much that I would be willing to do that. I don't know if all Sox fans are with me on that. 312-332-3776.
Wait, what's your proposal? Sheets or Kelly or both?
I think it's got to be. I think it would have to be both.
I agree with you because Kimbrel is the most sought after player right now on the trade market. And you keep hearing, you know, the Padres, Dodgers, Giants are all in on the idea of adding Kimbrel. So he's going to, Jed Hoyer's in a good position right now. Yeah.
So would you give up Sheets for Kimbrel? I would.
This is it. It'd be Kelly, Sheets, and Lopez.
Ronaldo.
Like, dude, Lopez.
Here's all the craziness going on right now. I love this time of year. And I fully admit.
Three for one,
Kimbrel. I said it yesterday.
That's what I want.
I said it yesterday with you guys. I said my very meathead thought of the weekend was, you know, like, because there was a brief rumor, and I think Cleveland sort of squashed it, but there was a brief rumor that they might listen to, you know, Jose Ramirez trade calls, right? And I'm like, oh my God. I'd call him and be like, name it. You know, other than, of course, it's not going to be Kopech and stuff like that. I mean, I'd call them up and be like, okay, Madrigal's hurt, but he's fine. It's ankle. Like, he had surgery. He's young. He'll be okay. Madrigal, and name your two prospects, and we'll do it. And it's kind of meathead-ish. Like, Cleveland's probably not doing a deal like that inside the division. He's got a couple years of control left. He's very affordable, and he's one of the best hitters in baseball, who maybe most people don't know about because Cleveland hasn't been good the last year and a half. You know, like, or at least certainly not this year. I don't know. I don't know if, like, people appreciate how good Jose Ramirez is. I'd do it in a second. And be like, name it, Madrigal, name it, we'll do it. He's played a little second. How about moving Moncada back to second? You know, because Madrigal would be in the deal and he's your third baseman. Like, I would do it. Somebody floated the idea yesterday to me, like, hey, you want to get crazy and meathead and bold, call Washington and say, Scherzer, Turner. Like, talk to me. What do you want?
Yeah, what are you looking for?
A lot. And one of those is a rental. What's Turner's status, Mellor? Has he still got control?
He's got another year left.
He's got another year. I mean, that makes it a little bit better for the team that could pull off that kind of deal. Scherzer's going to walk. Okay. I mean, like, a lot of it is meathead stuff, and it's, like, it's fantasy
but
stuff.
But you got to throw it against the wall.
But it's kind of fun this time of year, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And, like, just throw it against the wall and see. I'd love to just play that part for a minute, like, be one of those GMs and say, like, does that stuff actually happen? Like would I have the balls to call? Would I have the balls to call Mike Rizzo and be like, Scherzer, Turner, like, and what do you think?
Call Dave Dombrowski.
Call Dombrowski.
Call Shapiro. Like,
what do you want?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be fun just to be in there. Maybe he laughs you off the phone, or maybe he says, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. And maybe you hear that call and you go, okay, I don't know. I mean, like, get crazy. And the Sox don't have to overreact. I'm not insinuating that they have to or anything crazy is going to happen, but I would think about it all if I were a GM this time of year.
They absolutely should be all in, and I think they will be. But the question is, because look, Carlos Rodon, his future is going to be up in the air.
Great point.
I don't think, knowing what we know about the Jerry Reinsdorf history, sure, they got Lance Lynn to be locked up to an extension, but I don't think Carlos Rodon is going to be forfeiting his first big major contract coming off the year he's coming off of to give the Sox a hometown discount. So this may end up being the White Sox best chance to win a World Series because of the pitching they've assembled.
Like, go for it, you know? What do you think, Sox fans? We'll take some calls coming up next. And would you be willing to include Sheets? He's doing this at a good time if you're trying to add to your team. You have to be willing to do it. They've got a lot of redundancy in that profile, you know, that player profile. Let's face it. And he might go on to have a terrific big league career. His dad had a nice career, you know, and he's off to a good start. He's got 6 home runs, like I said, in a small sample. Would you be willing to do something like that? You're going to have to be bold a little bit here, I think, in the next 48 hours or so. 312-332-3776. That's the number. Join us with your thoughts. We got to play Matt Nagy's sound. He was on the station earlier this morning. Does Justin Fields have a chance to win the job? We will sprinkle in some of that sound, and we'll play that for you coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Like, this has been a fun and crazy busy week. I'm excited to see, as it goes on, like, what's going to happen, especially for my beloved White Sox. But, you know, Cubs players are going to be going. You get the sense that some of them are saying their goodbyes. White Sox are going to add. The Bears are going to camp. The Blackhawks have been very active. What's the old cliche? Mac used to use it all the time. Don't confuse
activity with accomplishment.
Thank you. With accomplishment. Thank you, Miller. Like, I think that we should remember that saying when discussing the Hawks right now. I think a lot of it could be, let's do as much as we can to take attention away from a sexual abuse scandal that could, you know, be coming to the surface here very soon.
Could unravel the hierarchy of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right, exactly. Like, some of it could be that. Some of it could be...
It's going to touch all bases there.
Yeah. Some of it could be a last-ditch effort to salvage the two final years of 19 and 88. They've got no trade clauses. They've pretty much expressed their desires over the years that they're not going anywhere. So you have to deal with it. And I think that's what Stan's trying to do. I don't think he's dealing with it in the right way. So there's all this stuff happening. There's another Hawks trade. There's been two in the last, you know, since last night. And I want to tell everybody about that. But I also promised Matt Nagy, who was on earlier with KJZ this morning on ESPN Radio, our good friends Shay Pepler Cornett and Jordan Cornett were sitting in or are sitting in this week for KJZ. And so they had a chance to talk to Matt Nagy. And this is a 90-second clip. Matt Nagy asked directly, how can Justin Fields win the starting job?
Right now, and we just had our big team meeting last night, and I think what's exciting for our team and for our family here is just knowing that where we sit, where we are, that it's going to be the focus of the quarterback position. And it's for Justin, for Andy, for Nick, those guys – That's not a part of the process for them in trying to figure out or watch every rep or be concerned about every throw. They're literally just trying to digest this offense and have successful plays so that we can win. And so I understand the outside, and everybody wants to know a lot of different questions and get questions answered. But for us, really, that's not our focus. We're just going to let everything play out in regards to every position, competition-wise, and Andy coming in. Being the starter, taking over this huddle and coming in here day one at training camp and showing all these guys what it's like to be a leader. And then for Justin to be able to learn from Andy. Again, when I say the room is healthy, every day that we're in these meetings, Andy Dalton is doing everything he possibly can to help Justin, just as when Andy was a rookie, you know, trying to get help from the guys he learned from, and the same with Nick. So, our focus right now is trying to be the best offense we can be with those quarterbacks and then, of course, on defense, too, getting that thing back on track and trying to put a team together that can go out and win.
It's your classic example of a coach that, you know, is trying to be polite and trying to answer a question, but he really has no intention of answering it. He did sort of slip in and reiterate there that Andy Dalton was brought in, you know, to take control of the huddle and be the starter. That's fine. That could be their plan. I think it was their plan when they signed Andy Dalton. I think things changed on draft night. Some fortuitous things happened. We all think they made a pretty good move this time.
Yes.
And if they develop this guy properly, hopefully he'll be very good.
I just don't buy that Justin Fields can't win this job. They don't want to come out and say it for whatever reason. Maybe they just want him to continue to compete and to think that he has to go out there and earn it. And maybe that's the best approach, Yerk, but I find it hard to believe, although it is the Bears. Well, I find it hard to believe that Justin Fields can't win the job if he goes out and dazzles.
I find it interesting that you wouldn't just say, yes, we've got a quarterback competition.
Is
What's
it because
wrong
there,
with a little
it,
competition? Nothing.
Is it because they're playing some sort of game where, like, they want Justin to feel like, hey, yeah, Andy's the starter. You're really going to have to go. I don't know, Yerk. I mean, could there?
It does make sense. Unless they truly plan on not playing him this year.
Which seems unlikely because, as we've documented, teams draft these quarterbacks to play
them. Not only that, but people get injured. Andy Dalton might be lost the first game of the year. What do you do? We don't know which quarterbacks will be on the roster at the end of this all.
You know who they're playing the first week. Mean old number 99 could be coming for him. Aaron Donald.
Yeah. You're talking about the L.A. Rams.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
Aaron Donald.
Could be coming for him.
I thought they did a nice job on Aaron Donald. The handful of times they've played the Rams here.
I think you're right,
I think they've done actually a pretty good job against Aaron Donald.
I think you're right about that.
Still causes chaos.
Yeah, he always does.
But I think they've done a decent job against him.
He's got to give these offensive coordinators nightmares, unlike most players in the league.
Warren Sapp was like that. Yeah. The guy that played in Seattle.
Cortez Kennedy
was like that. John Randall was like that.
Are you going strictly interior guys?
Right. I'm talking, he's an interior guy. That's why I would go strictly interior guys. You know, you'd have to in that regard.
Who's better in there? It's going when it's all said and done. JJ, why are you laughing so much, Kurt? JJ Watt or Aaron Donald?
That's a good question.
Are they same position basically?
No, because JJ's outside. Okay. I mean, JJ's outside. Always been more of a hand of the dirt edge rusher.
He'd flip in his early days.
Played a little bit inside.
He'd rush from the inside and also from the edge.
But he's mostly a D end. I mean,
at this point in his career, he seems like he is. Yes,
boy, JJ Watt, man, had like a 4-year run where it was
three in a row, right?
Like, I used to always say it was it was Reggie White esque. Like, he's putting up 17, 18, 20 sacks a year for
he got hurt.
I know.
And then he got hurt.
That's a really good question.
See, I feel like as good as Watt was, I feel like Donald
more of a game
firmly
changer
in his camp, and I've seen people like, I think when all is said and done, he has a shot to be the only guy who could potentially be in the same conversation as Lawrence Taylor.
The disruption on the interior, disruption on the that more bothersome than sometime it's coming off the corner. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When that alignment's in your face or that it's coming from right, you can't avoid it.
Right.
On the outside, you can ignore it a little bit and then feel it and step up in the pocket and buy yourself a little bit more time. So that, I always think disruption up the middle is more dangerous than disruption off the outside.
They were one pick away. The Bears were one pick away, guys.
I analyzed them right away, and
Yerko
this guy is for real.
I'll give you credit. Yeah, you had an eye on Aaron Donald, and you said it all along. Like, Nottie's going to be good. Yerko was saying Aaron Donald is a beast.
There were two guys in that draft. It was him and Tim Jernigans.
Yeah, Timmy Jernigan. Yeah.
And he went to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I said, these are the two guys that are kind of. Then they had another guy that played at Oklahoma and the guy up in Minnesota.
It was Philip.
They were terrible.
What's his name? I can't remember.
Terrible. They were playing the kid in Oklahoma out of position. I said, maybe if you play him in an inside eye on a five, or you play him at a defensive end position, the kid's got a chance to be a player. Was it Jason Phillip?
It was Jordan Phillips, right? Jordan Phillips? I think that's who it was, yeah.
And then the rest of them were terrible, Carm. It was a two defensive tackle draft. That's what it almost looked like.
I mean, look, we all make mistakes sometimes, and we've made them. Yerko thought Jordan Henry was going to be as good as Duncan Keith, so I'll bring him. I'll knock you down a peg.
I love Jordan Henry. I said, this Jordan Henry's got some talent.
But he got
into the house. He got in the Q's doghouse.
Yeah, Yerko spent the entire lead up to the draft when Aaron Donald was coming out telling everybody, he goes, I'm telling you guys, I see the tape here. I watch it. Which is amazing how much tape study you did on him. I feel like you fell in love with him so early, you kept going back to it, and you're like, Aaron Donald is just going to be a monster in this league. And you were right.
I think it was a Bears need, too, at the time.
Yeah.
It absolutely was, because do you guys recall, because they missed out on Aaron Donald, who they scooped up in the second round of that year, the 2014 NFL draft?
No, Dusty was older than that. Kyle Fuller next. They missed by one pick.
They did, and they had the 51st overall pick in the second round.
All right, so let's see. And this is they were addressing D tackle. That's
yes,
what you're
yes.
Me?
They didn't get Aaron Donald, so they had to go with their next choice,
Gilbert?
Who was still left on the board. No, not quite. Ego Ferguson.
Oh my good Lord in heaven.
Yeah, that's why I told you the rest of the picks in that draft.
Ego Ferguson.
No good.
Oh good Lord.
Blast from the past.
Yes, it is a blast from the past. John's in Evanston. What's up, John?
Hey guys. You know what? If I was the Sox GM, I don't think I'd go after Kimbrell because I got my closer, and I don't think I want to mess with one or the other being the setup man because, you know, they're both closers. But you know who I would go after now that Frazier's in San Diego and I really wanted the Sox to look at him is a guy like Simeon who can get on base for you behind Anderson and, you know, keep the line moving, and then you got your boppers coming up. But Simeon can play second. He can play short. He can play third.
Former not, White Sox.
What?
Former White Sox.
White Sox, yeah.
No, I said former. Former White Sox.
Former, yeah, bring him back.
Bring him back.
The kid can play, and there's no reason to go out and do – you don't need to do a lot, but we are missing a second baseman, and this guy behind Anderson, a couple of setup guys for the guys behind him, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes defensively, and I think that would shore up the Sox defense for sure.
Johnny, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Marcus Simeon, former Sox, who's gone on to have a really good career. Toronto
they're
selling?
Not trading him, though.
They selling? Probably not. They probably feel like they can hang around in the wild card
yeah,
race.
Yeah, they're
right?
more likely to add a pitcher.
Yeah, I thought I heard that they're considering making some moves to get rid of
him. I suppose because they've been struggling lately, and he is a free agent.
He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's had a one-year deal.
Yeah, I could see it, but
I'll take Simeon.
I think that would take a lot, too, to land him.
You probably would, even though you're going to rent him for a short period of time.
Hey, 3 months.
Yeah, it'd be pretty quick.
You know what
August,
they should do?
September and October.
The Jeff Samardzija trade. That's,
they should go ahead and identify guys like Semien and Javi Baez and just go around the teams and be like, hey, this is what we're willing to offer. If you're willing to move them,
we'll take them.
Yep. If not, we're moving on to the next team.
Did the Blackhawks fail to do their due diligence? That's coming up next. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Mortgage interest rates are near all-time lows. Your home is worth a lot more than you think. Apply for an easy cash-out refi today. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
My own memories, I'm scored for every practice, 10 goals, every practice. Every shootout, I'm scored to him. I know how he win 300. I know. It's surprising me.
The voice you just heard is Evgeny Malkin. You might not know who he is. Not the biggest hockey fan, but Evgeny Malkin is a Hall of Fame player for, he will go to the Hall of Fame when he's done, for the Pittsburgh Penguins, part of this dynasty that they've had with Sidney Crosby, and he was talking about his then-teammate Marc-Andre Fleury. Yurko's one of the great ballbusters of all time. One of the greatest I know.
Thank you.
That might be the greatest ball bust ever. When his teammate, Marc-Andre Fleury, won his 300th game and asked in the locker room afterward, Evgeny Malkin said he doesn't know how that's possible because he scores.
My own memories, I'm scored for every practice, 10 goals, every practice. Every shootout, I'm scored to him. I know how he win 300. I know. It's surprising me.
That's it, folks. It's the greatest ball bust of all time. That ends it. Right there. It's something that makes Yurko, it would have made Yurko proud.
Oh, I'd smile. When I heard that, I smiled because that's what it is.
It's the best.
They come to you expecting you to throw adulation and seashells and balloons and all flowers and flower petals at his feet. And he goes, no.
Yeah. 300.
I'm as surprised as you are.
How could he win 300? I score on him all the time in practice. Yeah. My memories are scoring 4 or 5 times on him every day in practice. It's the all-time greatest. Will Marc-Andre Fleury play for the Blackhawks? I don't know that anybody knows the answer to that right now. Pat Boyle is going to join us to discuss further at 11:30. Did the Hawks not do their due diligence and check in? I mean, you can't player tamper. I get it. They were making a trade, but there are ways in these
to go about the business of finding out. Would be interested in coming to Chicago.
Marc-Andre
Fleury interested in having him. Would he like to come to Chicago?
Marc-Andre Fleury finds out through Twitter, and now he's like, I don't know. I might just retire. It sounds like what he wants to do is go back to Pittsburgh, finish his career there. If he's going to leave Vegas, it sounds like he wants to go to Pittsburgh and finish there. I'm also wondering if he said, Hawks, I don't think they're a playoff team. I'm 37. I'm coming off a Vezina trophy. Like, right. I'm on a team that's in the playoffs every year right now.
He's not stupid.
Right.
He looked at the Hawks. He knows what the Hawks have.
Yeah.
He's like, not good enough.
And so now the Hawks are waiting with like $7 million tied up as free agency starting. It takes you out of going after maybe a goaltender you would have otherwise gone after in the market. Like, they could have swung and missed on all these guys, but like Frederick Anderson's available and Philip Grubauer's available today. And some of these guys are going to sign quick and they're going to be sought after. But you're sitting around wondering, like, is this guy going to come play for us now? I don't know how you failed to like get that part of, you know, the trade, like how you failed to check in a little bit in that part of the trade to do something like this. I don't know what the plan is for the Hawks. I mean, you know, we'll bring back Corey Crawford. But on second thought, let's try to trade for Matt Murray. And instead, we're going to take the offer off the table for Crawford and we'll just sign Kevin Lankin instead. And now it's like, well, we got to go and get Marc-Andre Fleury for 1 year. I'm telling you, it all smacks of desperation. It's like, let's distract everybody as much as we can from an ugly story that's going on in our organization right now. And let's somehow, some way figure out how the heck we can get back to the playoffs while Taves and Kane are still here for 2 more years and not going anywhere. And like, let's just see what we could do. There's another trade today. Nikita Zadorov has been traded to Calgary for a 3rd-round pick. I mean, one of our callers the other day made the point, like, what do you have to show for the bread man? You could poke holes in the bread man's game, and like, that's fine. And I'll, you know, we were just joking about the times we're wrong. We're all wrong sometimes.
Right.
And one of my biggest swings and misses ever is going to be, hey, I thought bringing Saad back was going to help. Bringing Saad back didn't help. They probably overreacted to what happened in the Nashville series that year. And you're left with what? A 3rd-round pick? Basically for the bread man, right? You got Saad, didn't work out, didn't help you. You trade him for Zadorov. Zadorov's no good, really. I mean, he's a big body that takes up space, but he can't really skate. I mean, he's going to hit some guys. Okay. I mean, a third team in 3 years for a reason. So now you trade him, and what do you have to show for an elite scorer like the bread man? You've got nothing, right? I mean, 3rd-round pick?
You've got nothing.
So all these things have compounded to where the Hawks feel like they're really spinning their wheels and they're acting kind of out of desperation. And I still don't know in that division, which we talked about yesterday, that's got some really good teams, that they're good enough to be a playoff team, even with Seth Jones, even with Tyler Johnson, who they acquired today. Tyler Johnson's on the back nine, folks. I mean, Tyler Johnson's about a 12 to 14 minute per game player at this point.
It's a good thing they have him locked up for another 3 years.
They got him 3 more years. They get a little relief because, you know, they got Seabrook. They got the Lightning to take the Seabrook contract. So they're doing a lot. I think a lot of it it feels desperate by Stan right now. I don't know that there's a real plan. It's like, let's just try to throw this.
It's throwing darts at the wall. You're throwing darts at the wall, what it hits, oh, let's do this, let's do that. Is there really a organizational thing? You know, is there really a philosophy there? It does not seem like there is a philosophy.
I was somewhat excited yesterday when we got word during our show about, you know, Andre Fleury, but now the more you read and learn, like, about how this went down in Vegas, clearly Marc-Andre Fleury is going, it seems like some convincing to come to Chicago, right?
And how do you convince him for a team that is, the Hawks made the playoffs out of a gift a year and a half, you know, in the pandemic year. It was a gift.
Right. It's exactly what it was.
The league basically looked at the standings and said, okay, we're going to come back in the bubble. And they go, Hawks in Montreal, we'll take those two TV markets. Let's just make it 12 teams and we'll see what happens. Like, they were gifted. They were not a playoff team. It should be 4 straight years without the playoffs. And, like, you're right, Mellor.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
What's going to convince Marc-Andre Fleury that this is a playoff roster?
And even if they can, this stood out to me yesterday in Greg Wyshynski's piece breaking down the Hawks' trade for Marc-Andre Fleury. He had a note. It's like how Jonathan Marchessault told me recently, quote, when you have a guy around like Fleury, I mean, he's been around. He's a future Hall of Famer. It's like every time we did something, we'd say, hey, Flower, is this okay for you? And if he says no, then we're going to change it. So we were lucky enough to have that much experience and that many cup rings. It's hard to argue with a guy like that.
Wow.
So clearly in the locker room, like the guy who was their first overall pick for Vegas, he meant a lot to that organization. But they felt like they couldn't keep him around because the dressing room wasn't
Right.
And Peter DeBoer seemed to want to move on, didn't he? I mean, hasn't like yeah, he, and they then, want Robin Leonard. Robin Leonard's younger. He's locked up for he's got a more favorable contract, and they want to play Robin Leonard.
And the owner's promising Fleury that he's not going to be traded, only to trade him because they didn't want reports getting out there so that it killed any possible deal. Not a great situation.
No, it is not. 312-332-3776. We'll continue to discuss. We'll play some more Matt Nagy sound. He was on ESPN Radio earlier this morning. And we will also talk White Sox baseball with Chuck Garfine. We'll ask him some questions like yes, no. Who's coming? Who's going? What are they going to have to give up? We'll do all that when we return in 2 minutes.